Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the show. It is Betting Across America, and we are presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchett, your host out here in Las Vegas. Your other host is in Denver, Mile High City. What's going on out there, James Salinas? How are you?
Well, I was planning to go to the Rockies game out here, but there's no fastballs in Denver today. It's just snowballs strictly. Game's been canceled. It's going to snow tonight here, Pritch. Mid-May, snowstorm. Here we go.
I can't believe it.
In the Rockies.
I can't believe it. You can count on it.
It happens. It happens every year. Yeah. We're used to it out here. It's not cold. It just snows. But no baseball tonight.
Sure.
No baseball for the Rocks. So if we were looking at that one, scratch that one. It is no longer on the board due to snow.
I was looking forward to that, too. Actually, the Padres in the Mile High City facing the Rockies, but postponed, like you mentioned, because of snow. You could count on those afternoon thunderstorms. But I guess here in the month of May, we can count on some snow activity as well now.
Yeah, absolutely. This is par for it. And then it rolls out of here. It melts right away.
Yeah.
And then we'll see if that babe, they're scheduled to play tomorrow as well, obviously, with the new series with the Padres coming into town. But we'll see if that one actually gets played, because it is supposed to snow overnight through the morning tomorrow. So remains to be seen what tomorrow looks like. But yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
No baseball today, but we'll have some fun making some snowmen and firing some football.
If it sticks, for sure.
Yeah.
We're going to preview Major League Baseball in a second, but just updating some news and notes from the National Football League. It's official. I believe the Jaguars have signed Tim Tebow, tight end, Team Tim Tebow, to a one-year contract. James, what do you make of that?
I'm checking right now on our BetMGM app, Pritch, just to see those future odds for Jacksonville. They must be spiraling down. You missed all the value now. If you were pre Tebow signing with the Jaguars, when's the last time? Has he been out of the league for? I mean, he was here about a decade ago here in Denver, right?
Yeah.
As a quarterback, but it's been like almost a decade since he's played. I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, it doesn't move. It's not going to move where I thought that this team stood as far as going into this season. A lot of holes to fill. They filled their quarterback position, did the Jacksonville Jaguars through the draft. So they've got that solidified, at least going into the season. But lots of other holes on that roster. I don't know if tight end was really that big of a concern.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that Tebow hasn't played in the NFL in nearly a decade. Is part of this, do you suspect, maybe also some marketing and some ticket sales?
Oh, without a doubt. Definitely ticket sales, marketing, for sure. That region too, Urban Meyer, they kind of reunited right there. I mean, they're expecting to try to sell a lot of tickets out there in Jacksonville. Now, here's where it gets interesting, though. Jags win total 6.5, James. Can you see Tim Tebow having a Taysom Hill kind of effect on this football team, though? He's the ultimate Taysom Hill, if you ask me.
Just thinking that he hasn't played in almost a decade.
Okay.
I mean, now
he's a great athlete, though.
He's a great athlete.
Yeah.
You know when he steps on the field, he is going to be in the best shape that he can possibly be in, and he's going to give 100%
right
every down. He's going to give the effort. That's there's no question there. But you know, he's 10 in a sense 9 years removed from the NFL. I mean, you lose a step pretty quickly in the NFL. We see it decline fast. So I know he'll come in shape, give great effort. But what can he actually do on the field? Plus, he's playing a different position now. If they run some packages in there, I wouldn't worry too much. Okay, if you want to run him, if you want to put him back there, if we're the defense, are we worried about him throwing the ball over the top? Because he wasn't able to do that in the past. Why would he do that now a decade later? I think it's maybe short yardage situations, right?
Right.
If it's a fourth or a third, maybe a third down where you might have a third and two and you have the threat of an RPO. But outside of that, yeah, maybe some specialty packages for Tebow stepping in there in certain situations, yardage, goal to go down situations, those types of things. But outside of that, I mean, he's playing a different position if they're signing him to play tight end. I think we'll see a lot more blocking out of Tebow than what we'll see actually catching the football.
So no playmaking ability there, Tim Tebow, because the reason why I asked, I mean, you think of Taysom Hill, he's more impactful, James, catching the football, running the football, than he is throwing the football out there with New Orleans. And, you know, Tim Tebow, yeah, throwing the football, no. Catching, running it, the passion that he has for the game, though, that could be impactful. I mean, you have him, and you have a ton of leadership on that team, that young team out there in Jacksonville right now on the field. So it'll be interesting. Stephanie informed me that 2015 practice squad with the Eagles was last time Tim Tebow put on a football uniform. So there you have it right there. Tim Tebow about to sign. All indicators are pointing to the fact that he's going to sign with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Practice squad. Huh? That was the last time 6 years.
That's quarterback.
Ago. So yeah. Yeah, I mean it's they need to do whatever they got to do down there in Jacksonville to sell tickets. They're just a handful of years removed right from being in the AFC Championship game and having the lead in that AFC Championship game up in New England, coming back beating Pittsburgh in the playoffs. That really riding that defense is what it was. Terrific defense. I mean, such a makeover now with this team, and even with those playoff games, struggle to put fans in the seats and sell that stadium out. So they got a lot of work to do down there to re-engage the fan base, whatever that fan base is down in Jacksonville, to try to get them in through the turnstiles and into the seats and support their team. And if it takes Tim Tebow to help sell those season tickets, then you got to do what you got to do. But as far as performance on the field, it's not going to have any impact on how I'm going to view the Jaguars going into this season.
Okay, then the Colts sign tackle Eric Fisher, formerly of the Kansas City Chiefs, to a one-year contract, $9.4 million right there, James. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports that there's a chance the Colts, Eric Fisher, his Achilles, he won't be ready until October. Still $9.4 million.
What? He got hurt. He got hurt. Well, in the AFC Championship game, he got hurt against the Bills, right? So that we're talking towards the latter part of January when he went down for the season. So somebody who's got to be 30, he's got to be 30 years. He's been in the league for 8-9 years now, I think. For Fisher, what can he actually do if and when he comes back in mid-season, potentially? Maybe it's more so some insurance on that left side, since Costanzo is gone now and has retired from the Colts. And you know, he's not going to, obviously with Fisher, it's going to be a work in progress for get him back on the field. I honestly think that you're talking about October, Pritch, for potentially seeing Fisher on the field. Mm-hmm. I think that's a bit optimistic.
Is that optimistic? Okay, not going to help the Colts. They gave him $9.4 million right there, too. So maybe it shows you the signs of desperation where the Colts and their offensive line and what they need to do. Now, Carson Wentz, not as mobile as he once was. And you look at the Colts right now in terms of their chances, James, in that division, whether people are projecting them to be the favorites or not, the Titans kind of regression there. The Jaguars, we just talked about them. The Texans, they're a mess. So this is for the Colts to win as long as they don't mess it up.
Thinking about that schedule, too. I mean, you know, it is. It's really, to me, it's the weakest division in all of football from top to bottom, right, is the AFC South. You mentioned the Jaguars and the Texans and a one-win team and the Jaguars. And right now, the Texans' win total was, I think it was 4.5. I've seen it at 4. Not a whole lot of expectations going out of coming out of the Texans camp, especially big question marks at the quarterback position. So, yeah, I do. I think the Titans are, we've seen the ceiling for the Titans. A lot of holes on the defensive side, too. But I think the offense, we know what their identity is, and I think we've seen as far as they're going to go. We saw it in the playoffs last year against the Ravens, really stacked the box against Henry, took away the running game, and they struggled to move the football consistently down the field because of it. To me, this is the Colts division to lose, and left tackle is really the biggest question mark on that offense. Yeah, you mentioned Wentz and the mobility piece. Yeah, I think with Frank Reich getting back together with Wentz, I think that's something that's going to be interesting. I know they had a good relationship when they were there in Philly, or at least when Reich was there in Philly with them. So, think about last year at the quarterback position for the Colts. And is Wentz going to be an upgrade, even though he's not as mobile as what he once was?
Right.
We talked about the least mobile quarterback maybe in the history of the NFL, and you're talking about Phillip Rivers standing back there. So this is a huge upgrade when it comes to any kind of mobility, even though Wentz, yes, through all the injuries that he's suffered, just the really how reckless he played with his body out there getting banged up over the first few years. It seems like Wentz has been around for a long time. He's only been in the league a handful of years, right, Pritch? But he suffered some pretty significant injuries, really based on how he plays as well.
He's been hit a lot, James. He's been through a lot out there as a quarterback in the National Football League early in his career, so we'll see what happens there. Turning our attention to Major League Baseball, James, I've noticed something that I wondered about, and I wanted to ask you about when it comes to Major League Baseball. Fans in the stands, home field advantage. I'm watching the Braves and the Phillies, and that place was, I'm not going to say jam-packed, but there was a lot of folks there. without mask and everything. And it felt like there was a distinct home field advantage for the Braves on Mother's Day against the Phillies. So are you starting to cap that as you look around Major League Baseball and notice more fans in the stands?
I'm really trying to cap bullpens right now, and I'm not being very successful at it, Rich. That's the issue for me.
Okay.
I don't care whether there's any fans in the stands right now. The biggest problem is trying to cap, when we're talking about Major League Baseball, trying to cap a nine-inning contest if we're looking to play a full game. That's still really the challenge with the state of bullpens across Major League Baseball right now. So I think with, and especially a game like that, it's Mother's Day, it's Sunday night, you know, it's the sun is down, the lights are on, and just kind of brings up the intensity level. Did you ever feel that? Just let me ask you, now in the NFL stadiums, for the most part, most NFL stadiums were always jam-packed and great energy in those, within the arenas or in the dome. You played in the dome too, but when the lights went on and the sun went down, did it feel like there was a little extra edge of motivation, just feeling like, all right, the bright lights are on us, let's go out there and shine?
Oh, absolutely. I think anytime you're out there performing, you feel that. You get that adrenaline. But James, the fans, they do make a difference. I'm here to tell you, at home, away, it does. You feel the impact. And I'm just wondering, from a baseball standpoint, because it just looked like the Braves players did just had a little bit more energy than the Phillies. I mean, some of the at-bats from Philadelphia, they weren't inspiring, but certainly at the plate, at the dish for the Braves, it just looked like they had a little bit more energy out there.
Rich, you can speak to the fact that, yeah, players are going to feed off the home crowd, right, and feed off that energy as long as those crowds are engaged as well. That's
right.
The other piece, too. I've been to plenty of games just down the street from me here at Coors Field in Denver to go watch the Rockies. If you put your a blindfold on during the game and you told everybody, ask the Rockies fans that are sitting in those stands during that game, who are the Rockies playing right now? Half of them wouldn't even be able to tell you. Because they're not engaged with I'm serious. They're not engaged in the games. Mm-hmm. They're not. They're
party
up
deck.
On that rooftop deck. Yeah, and it's a party deck up there. I mean, it's great. It's great to be and I love going out there, but we get engaged with the games. I take my little guy out there, and we love baseball, and we get engaged watching the game. We're not too steam-headed where we're sitting there keeping score and we're at the scorebook, but you know, we get engaged in the game and appreciate going to a live Major League Baseball game, but that's almost the exception here in Colorado, and I think in a number of other stadiums, that is also the norm, too, where it's less engagement. It's more social time to get out. It's summertime, get outside, you know, have a couple cold ones and enjoy being at the ballpark, but you really to really be engaged, and I think for the players to feed off the fan energy, it's reciprocated. The fans have to deliver that energy, too, to really impact those players, right?
Yep. Let's get to Boston and Baltimore here. Baltimore in danger of being swept at home. They are plus 128. The total is 9 against the Red Sox here, James.
Short card today, Rich, and with the Rockies game off the board too. I think we're down to, I've only got a couple games on the list here, but looking at the Red Sox, they're going for that 4-game sweep in Baltimore. They already swept Baltimore in a 3-game set last month in April, and they got to finish off that sweep against our favorite batting practice pitcher is back up. You know who that is, Rich. It's Jorge Lopez. We've fired against him a few times this year and been very successful cashing tickets against him. Now that game, I remember that game clearly. That was a Sunday game, and we bet at first 5, and we bet the team total there as well, and they jumped all over Lopez. They hit a couple balls over the fence. Both were hit the other way. I mean, JD Martinez hit the ball the other way, so that's where I'm looking here, because I know we have with Perez on the mound for the Red Sox. You know, I favor the Red Sox in this spot, but Perez is not one that I truly trust. So looking more so just at this Red Sox team total sitting at 4.5. It's juiced to $1.20. But with our batting practice friend up there on the mound for the Orioles with Lopez, I'm going to back the Boston team total and bet the over 4.5 laying $1.20.
Okay. Team total 4.5. Okay. $1.20. I like that angle. Actually, I mean, I was looking at that total, but maybe too high there. Let's get to another game. The Angels and the Astros, James. Angels, one of those teams. This total is elevated to 9.5. Houston minus 165 at home.
So I'm looking, because when I was looking at these earlier, we didn't have a starting pitcher
right.
listed for the Angels. So I'm digging that up now. And I'm still sitting here. I still don't have one out here. I do have a number out here, though. This game was not on the board before. Right now I have the Astros laying $1.60. I know Luis Garcia is going to start today for the Astros. Now, he's only made it through five innings twice mm-hmm. in six starts. So not a pitcher I'm ready to trust right now here, but I still don't have a number. I don't have the total sitting at 9.5, but I don't have a listed pitcher. Do you have a listed pitcher?
I'm searching as well.
It's still not started. I still don't have it listed on my site right now.
Suarez, perhaps.
Maybe that's the case, he's really going to be an opener. And
right.
If he's an opener, this is going to be a bullpen game for both of these teams. With what we've seen out of Luis Garcia, he's not expected to go very long. We've seen it already. He hasn't done that too many times early in the season for the Astros. And both these lineups, although we didn't really see it out of the Angels, kind of struggled to hit the baseball. They were able to take that win down over Trevor Bauer yesterday, but still only scratched out two runs in that win over the Dodgers. Maybe they're happy to get away from Los Angeles because they did not play well. 2-5 on their homestand there. Maybe better off to go play division rival Astros.
Yeah, we're going to have Adam Burke on the program a little bit later. He's going to help us out with more baseball. But we're going to turn our attention to the National Football League again because of the NFL running backs, the impact of rookie running backs. We're going to break that down with over-under props. It's coming up next. Everybody, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Just download the app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Be sure to have that state-issued ID, open an account, start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love the state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21. And physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the show. Mike Pritchard, Gene Salinas with you on the program. It's Betting Across America right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. James, so rookie running backs, the impact. We saw two get selected in the first round of this year's draft. Najee Harris, I mean, he's a phenomenal running back, but yet, you still need an offensive line. Mike Munchak is now out there in Denver. We're going to talk about Javonte Williams, but your thoughts on Najee Harris, 949.5, over, under, minus 110, the over, minus 110, the under as well, rushing yards.
Pittsburgh offensive line is in complete transition. Right? Mm-hmm. Lost three starters from last year and two longtime starters, veteran leaders on that offense. We saw a shift in identity for the Pittsburgh Steelers last year when it came with Big Ben coming back after his offseason surgery. What was that going to look like to the passing game? We know he loves to get it out there and sling it down the field, but did not have the accuracy or the arm strength to get it down the field like he had been used to doing pre-surgery there. So a lot of short passes, and that really substituted for their running game last year. Now think about, you talked about the offensive line that we know it's in transition, and with Najee Harris there, that's almost just a tick under 949, almost 950 yards.
Mm-hmm.
That seems pretty lofty there, Pritch, when defenses now can stack the box up, not so much because it's to stop the run, it's really to take away the short passing game, because I think defenses clearly know, you go back, whether you played him last year or you watched him on film, of what Big Ben can do and can't do, he cannot throw the ball downfield consistently with any sense of accuracy or even velocity at this point. You can stack that box up and take away that short passing game, because I just don't know if there's much of a threat for the over-the-top passing game with Big Ben anymore, and that's really going to be impactful on that running game as well.
Yeah, James, I think when you look at these rushing totals, though, it's 17 regular season games now. So that drops the average to right around 55 and a half yards per game. If Najee Harris were to do that, like 55 and a half yards, 55.85 yards per game. So if he's healthy for 17 games, can he get 55, let's call it 56 yards a game rushing? Because that'll take him over.
That's the if. There's the big right. If. If he's healthy for 17 games, mm-hmm. that's it. Yes, you have one more game. Add a game to the schedule. All teams do that can help inflate some of these statistics. So, well, it'll be interesting to see right now with some of these numbers like the 2,000-yard rushing. That's always kind of been the target point for running backs, right? It was so hard to achieve. Now with 17 games, what does that do to these numbers? But you also think about, yes, it helps. It can help pad some numbers statistically. But that's an extra game now for you to go out there and get banged up and miss more games subsequently. So I look at it that way. I'm more so inclined to think 17 games with a lot of these different props, especially rushing the football, those types of things, that I'm going to be looking more so at playing unders, because I just think the especially with running backs too, right. You see this, it's hard for these running backs to stay healthy. Now you're going to plug a rookie back there to do that, as well as a number of rookies up front on a new rebuilt offensive line and a lack of a extended over-the-top passing game. Teams are going to be stacking that box, both to take away the short passing game, and they're going to be right there to stuff the run as well.
Same thinking with Javonte Williams. Like I mentioned, Munchak's out there. He's a Hall of Famer, certainly from a player standpoint. Coach, he's one of the better offensive line coaches. They do have some offensive line issues, in particular at right tackle. Shermer, he's a three-wide receiver type of guy, but Williams, he's a phenomenal player. I think he takes over that starting running back job out there in Denver, James. Your thoughts, 79.5 to total, over -110, under -110 as well.
Melvin Gordon, the feature back, but now, number one, can he stay healthy for a whole season? Here's another game for him not to be able to get banged up out there. Plus, he puts the ball on the ground. We saw that in a few games last year, and especially midway through the season, started to lose confidence in giving him additional touches. So I can see that one. I kind of like where you're leaning here with Javonte Williams at the over. Fresh legs, young legs coming in, and especially as the season starts to progress and he gets a little more comfortable with the NFL game, I think that's where having that 17th game will be impactful, because he's not going to be getting as many touches early in the season. I could see that sitting there at 750. I'd be looking at the over.
Yeah, 44 yards per game. That's all he has to do to go over that one. 45 yards if you want to round it up. Coming up, some angles in the NBA that are working, including motivation. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Did you know VSiN.com has the latest lines and odds for every game on the board tonight? Track the line movements and live charts, get estimated scores for every matchup, and all the betting information you need to stay on top of the action. Whether it's a line move or insight from Josh Applebaum or last-minute NBA injury information from Jonathan Von Tobel, our experts give you the necessary data on VSiN.com/NBA, VSiN.com/NHL, or VSiN.com/MLB. You can use our parlay calculator to figure out payouts and get all of our betting 101 info, including definitions of betting terms we use right here on the Sports Betting Network. Start your day's sports betting research for free at vsin.com. Welcome back to the show. It's Betting Across America. We are presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. James, the NBA, I mentioned motivation. I think there's some motivation in some of these games down the stretch here. Indiana, they're trying to hang on to that 10th spot in the Eastern Conference. They got the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are eliminated right now, James. Cleveland at home, they're +9. 229 is a total. Enough motivation for Indy in this one to lay 9 points? What are you thinking?
For Indy, for sure. right? They're just they have not been playing well as of late the last few weeks, and I know they've had to try to work new play. They've had some injuries, and Brogdon's been banged up. He's their best definitely their best on-ball defender, and in and out of the lineup for a while. And I just feel like the Pacers, for me, Pritch, have been a team I've really struggled to get a good read on all season long, probably because they've just been so up and down all season long, and really kind of just not bringing consistent effort each night. But talk about teams that aren't bringing any effort anymore. You talked about the motivation. That would check the box right there. Cleveland Cavaliers. And, you know, one of those things I try to find, too. Sometimes you get hammered and the next night out or the next game out, you're looking for some redemption, right? Some competitive pride, professional pride to step right out there. That's what we're not seeing out of the Cavs right now. And, you know, it's not a good team, and we know they're clearly moving on to next year. And they've dealt with a lot of injuries this season, too. But young team that's still working through what their roster is going to look like come next season. But these last three games, it's one thing to get out there and get run off the floor and then bounce back and try to get out there and be a professional. They've lost 10 straight. That's going to happen for the Cavs. Been a really tough second half of the season for them, too. But here's their last three games, Pritch. Where's the competitive pride here? Losing by last night by 27, 20 points the night before, and 36 points a couple days ago. So not really seeing a lot of competitive pride. I don't want to lay 9 with the Pacers in any game, regardless of who they're playing there, even if it's a bad Cavs team right now. But it's only Indiana or nothing for me. I don't want anything to do with this Cleveland team. They're clearly ready to mail in the season.
Yeah, good point about Indiana. I have not had a gauge on them all year, to be honest with you, James. I thought I did for a while. I cashed a ticket on them a few weeks ago, but I'm not touching that one either. How about Washington and Atlanta? So here you got the Wizards, who are motivated, certainly. They're catching 8 points on the road against the Hawks. 237.5 is a total. Westbrook is playing out of his mind, including defensively, James. I think he's added some inspiration to this lineup as well.
No Bradley Beal tonight. Yeah. He got banged up in that over OT win over Indy the other day. He's out with a hamstring injury. That's going to be crucial, not only for obviously not being there tonight, but how long is he going to be out with the play-in? Because now Washington, they've won 7 out of 10. These last few weeks played very well. They've worked themselves in. I mean, they've solidified themselves. They're sitting in the 9 spot right now of the play-in piece, and they've got a 3-game lead over the Bulls with the Pacers now trailing the Wizards. That was a big pivotal game for those two the other night. Here, I think that's the struggle right now. The other part, too, is if you look at that Wizards schedule, I know Westbrook's been bringing it. He just tied the big O as far as most triple-doubles in league history, so good for him there. But look at this schedule. This could be a kind of a tired team as far as the Wizards going into Atlanta tonight. 7th game in the last 11 days, of which 6 of those were on the road, including back-to-back games of overtime wins, overtime contests. So could be really a tax team right here, especially with Beal out. We know Westbrook's going to bring the effort, but I like where the Hawks have been, and the Hawks are still, they got plenty to play for. They're sitting a game behind the Knicks right now for that 4th spot in the East. Playing very well recently, starting to get healthy. I think they're going to welcome DeAndre Hunter back onto the court tonight, too. Now, obviously, spot minutes, and he's been in and out of the lineup. He had midseason knee surgery. I think he came back a little too early. Coming back tonight, start to play. But I think Atlanta is starting to round themselves. They're getting healthy, playing very well, very competitively here. This might be a really one of those games where the Wizards come second half. I might be looking for an in-game or maybe a second half play here, because I think the Wizards will bring the energy early. But ultimately, the Hawks have a lot to play for, too. We may see the Wizards start to fade in that second half just due to the house tough their schedule has been this last week and a half.
Right, you got the Hawks that was 68 games. They're 2 games and in front of that play-in situation. And then the Wizards, 68 games as well. They're hanging on with the 9 seed right now with Indiana right behind them. So definitely motivation in that matchup right there. Pelicans and Grizzlies, what do you think of this game, this matchup? Coaches are screaming. Zion, he's not getting calls, or he's getting murdered down there, James. So obviously a cry for more fouls for Zion out there on the court.
I played the under here. I took it at 230. Under 230. Was actually surprised at the Pelicans and the effort. I shouldn't say surprised, but we know that with Zion being out with his finger, and not sure even if they make the play-in or make the playoffs, if he's even going to be back for that. It kind of sounds like he's done for the season with the severity of his injury. But also Brandon Ingram, he's doubtful again. Hasn't played for the last few games with an ankle injury. But the players have rallied. I mean, they had a big win yesterday against Charlotte. and really, and Friday night really played a tough competitive game against the 76ers, a 76ers team where it was questionable whether Embiid was going to play or not. He did play, and he played significant minutes. It was a tight competitive game, but it was really the defensive side. Now, you're thinking about Williamson being out as well as Ingram. That's a lot of firepower being taken off the court to be able to put the ball in the basket, for one. Now we're seeing more of an emphasis on defending for the Pelicans because they got to work. They're working the shot clock more and having to work for better shots. So I took the under here, looking at this side here. For the Grizzlies, they can actually clinch one of those play-in spots tonight with the win. Grizzlies are a very athletic team. They like to get out and transition and run, but they're not a great three-point shooting team. That is the weakness of the Pelicans, is defending that three-point, defending the perimeter and giving up three-point shots. Strength against weakness, weakness against weakness for both these teams. Just thinking here at 230, I like the total, host. I think both teams have plenty to play for tonight, and so it's going to start on the defensive side. 230 is a big number to me. I'll go ahead and bet the under.
A little bit too late screaming and certainly lobbying for Zion. If they're going to shut him down, which they should, his legs look heavy too, to be honest with you, James. We're going to continue with the NBA because we have some plus money situations when it comes to what we think these teams are going to do throughout the playoffs. And so we're going to break that down. It's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. BetMGM has a fun way to join sports betting excitement. Win $100 for a $1 wager on either the Bucks or Spurs to hit a three. Just use bonus code VSIN100 and get in the ring with the king of sportsbooks. Simply download the app or go to BetMGM.com for more information and details and use promo code VSIN100. It's a new customer offer, paid and free bets. Must be 21 years or older. Located in Colorado, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia, excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. If you feel you have a problem, it's 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the red line, 800-889-9789. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the show. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you here on Betting Across America. Thank you for tuning in. James, plus money situations with some of these teams in the NBA as we are approaching the playoffs. Now, keeping in mind, at least I do, that the playoffs is an entirely different season than the regular season. And we know that basketball in the NBA changes when you get to the playoffs. So your thoughts on these teams in these betting situations with the Nets to win the championship. Right now, they're plus 240. To lose in the finals, they're plus 375. To lose in the conference finals, plus 450. Lose in the conference semifinals, plus 325. In the first round, if they lose, they're plus 300. Your thoughts?
I don't like the Nets to win the championship to start. So let's scratch that first one off the top right there. Win the championship plus 240. Where not a good number there to begin with, as far as any kind of extracting any kind of value out of a future bet right now. But as far as the Nets are concerned, when is Harden going to come back? And then whenever he does come back, how are the big three finally? We haven't seen them on the court very often, right? With Kyrie and KD, and we know when Harden was on the court, whether he was with the two of them or running solo or with Kyrie, he was really the facilitator, but he's been out for a while. It's going to take him some time whenever he does get back, not only get his competitive legs back under him, but then start to reacclimate himself with his teammates because they just haven't played together. So now to say that they're going to step out on the court and then do it in the playoffs, you mentioned, yeah, completely different. It's a totally different game when we get to the NBA playoffs, especially as you start to grind deeper into the playoffs. The other thing that we got to keep in mind too, too. This is not going to be how the bubble was, where I think a team like the Lakers got to take advantage of not having to travel, right? You got to live there, just live on campus and show up at the arena and go back to your hotel and kick it until the next game. You're going to have to travel. So what is that going to do to these players that are nursing and suffering through some injuries too? So maybe if you look down here, I don't think they win the championship, but I don't think they get to the finals either. Maybe it's better whether it's the semifinals or the conference finals. I think if you take a piece of both of those, if they fall short somewhere, because I think they'll move forward in the first round. But from there, I don't know if I like their chances to get through the semis, and if they do even get through the conference final. So maybe that's where I go here, is instead of trying to find playing one specific, you play both, and you got plus money on both. So you're going to get some return on your investment as long as they get knocked out in that second or third round.
Right. I mean, even if they do have the big three on the floor, what's to say that Harden's going to remain healthy throughout the entire playoff season? A hamstring's a hamstring. Those things are tough to recover from, certainly. I like that angle, too. Maybe a piece of two situations right there. How about the 76ers, James? To win a championship, they're plus 800 right now. To lose in the finals, they're plus 400. Same thing losing in the conference finals, in the semis, plus 230, plus 280 in the semis. Losing the first round, plus 250.
I think Philly, for me, that's the tough one right now, because they haven't been there. I mean, they've really they're going to be the number one seed in the East. They've got the lead there. Their schedule is very favorable to close it out. They're going to be the top seed, so they'll have that advantage of being able. Really, the home court advantage really plays out if you make it all the way to a game seven. So here for the Sixers, Pritch, I don't really know where I stand with the Sixers, because we just haven't seen this before. How is this going to play out from the regular season into the whole different realm of what playoff intensity basketball looks like? How is this team going to perform there? It wasn't the same team last year. That team was definitely fractured when they rolled into the playoffs and just got rolled. And they gave really very little resistance. I think it was Boston that just absolutely throttled them through that first round. I just don't really have a good read on where I think this Sixer team is going to land in these playoffs. You know they're going to be the number one seed, so they'll have that advantage. I may look to kind of play the same piece there, whether it's the conference finals and or the finals. I think they can get through. That's the other part. We got to see how these top four seeds are finally played out between the Nets and the Bucks, who's going to be those top three. But I don't know. I'm kind of stuck on this one here, Prish. Okay. What do you like with the Sixers?
Well, they're a top five team in deficiency rating right there. So, I mean, offensively, I'm not worried about them scoring, certainly. But as the playoffs become more intense, and we do have that different season in the playoffs within the NBA, if you're a top performing defensive squad, I think that could bode well. You got the Lakers on top in terms of that category. That helped them last night against the Suns, as we know. Utah's up there too, top five. New York, the Knicks, a top five defensive team too when it comes to efficiency. So with Philly playing defense and Doc probably back home and in a right situation there with that squad, plus 800 to win a championship. But I do like the other angle, though, whether they lose in the finals or lose in conference finals, plus 400, plus 230 right there. But I expect the Sixers to go pretty far here in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think they're going to make the run. It's a matter of I think the Nets, probably the more that we talk about it, we do this too, right? We start talking ourselves in and have these right. discussions and open up a little dialogue. Just trying to think about within that Eastern Conference, what is the team that is going to be, who could be their tough matchup? I don't think a team like Milwaukee, we saw what they did last year and how limited they were and what a great job Spoelstra did to be able to change their defense within that series. And I think that's the other piece with any of these series, Pritch, is it is a game of adjustments.
Right.
And coaching is going to matter within these series, seven-game series. And we saw that with Miami, really made that great run last year. Is Milwaukee a team that you have concerns with the Sixers to be able to get past? Because I don't know if I have that many concerns about the Nets being able to knock off the Sixers. Nets aren't a team that I'm very high on going into the playoffs here. But what about the Bucks? Do you feel like the Bucks are a team that can give the Sixers the run and get past them to get to the finals?
You know, I wonder about the Bucks from a defensive standpoint. Offensively, they were stagnant. They were stale. They've kind of changed their ways when it comes to offensive basketball. So they are built for the playoffs too, I think. But Giannis, I mean, he's a wild card. If you can find a way to neutralize him, as we saw in the bubble, what else do the Bucks have? I mean, Holiday certainly. They've got some other guys that can step up at times. But I look at the Sixers as being more built for the playoffs, or a sustained run in the playoffs anyway, more so than the Bucks. Even though the Bucks right now, what, plus 900 to win a championship, plus 600 to lose in the finals.
Yeah, so thinking about it from that perspective there with the Sixers, especially the defensive side, and I think that's what I look at with the Sixers too. You talked about their efficiency rating. I think collectively that team defense, we've seen, I mean, really a great job by Doc coming over, and yeah, there was a lot of things that he had to fix inside that locker room, right? It wasn't just performance on the court. It was some friction and some relationship issues that were going on with the previous coach, and I think that kind of fractured some relationships within that locker room. He's done a great job of really bringing this team together, building some camaraderie and chemistry, and it starts with – and winning, you know that, Pritch. Winning will cure a lot, any kind of bad blood. If you're winning, it's all fun and games. And you start losing, that's when you kind of – becomes business, right?
Right.
So, I mean, we're seeing that play out the floor, especially defensively. I think that's why they're winning games. They do have the ability to be able to score, and Embiid's a tough matchup on the floor inside and out. But I think the consistency from the defensive end is what's been most impressive with Philadelphia, the commitment to playing defense collectively as a team.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with that. How about the Clippers? They are plus 500 to win the championship. Playing better, I think, PG. He's starting to get his notoriety, if he even needed any. Kawhi, you kind of forget about him. Lose to in the finals, they're plus 550. Conference finals, plus 400. Lose in the conference semis, plus 225. James, your thoughts?
Clippers are just not a team that, you know, they've on again, off again, a lot of injuries too, and some late season additions, some roster moves. That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with Rondo. Haven't really seen him a whole lot, right, with some injuries coming over from Atlanta, but also it was Boogie Cousins, his cousin's going to make an impact for this team within, you know, down the stretch into the playoffs. I feel like for me, the Clippers, they just haven't had this consistency on the court together due to injuries, due to COVID, due to rest management, right? The load management and the rest that we've seen. Kawhi starting to come back and get healthier, looking like himself there. But he's another one that's susceptible to injuries, as is George. Right, he's just, Paul George is just another one that we've seen a lot of, plenty of history of injuries, and now you're going to be in these grinded out series traveling as well. I just don't think the Clippers are a team that I feel confident to be able to get to the finals there in the West. So kind of maybe the same kind of approach that we talked about earlier with the Nets situation, whether that's losing the finals plus or not the finals, excuse me, I don't think they get to the finals, losing the conference finals at plus 400. Now you're not getting as good a price on this one here at plus 225 as far as the semis go. But if you're looking just to try to squeeze out a profit here, and you don't think that the Clippers are going to make it to the finals, that's probably, again, the same kind of route I'd go with those two. And at least you're going to be able to, if as long as they don't make the finals and don't get bounced in that first round, you've guaranteed yourself some kind of profit.
Absolutely. You got timing and pricing on your side right now as a better, and I like that. With these plus money situations, and timing is everything, as we know, as we're about to begin the NBA playoffs. In hour number two, we're going to get to the NHL playoffs. Greg Wyshynski is going to join the program. A little bit of news here, James. Jacob DeGrom, he's going on the IL, right side tightness. MRI showed no structural damage. So they dodged something right there with the Mets and DeGrom. Tremendous player, but he's tight. Give him a timeout. I can agree with that. It's a marathon, not a sprint, back in Major League Baseball. Hour number two, right here, coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.